Today's shir is Masechta Becharis Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Heyom Beis at the Mishnah, the bottom, the last Mishnah on the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Elik Sheira Ba'odam, the following mumim are not a problem by people, Upsulma Behema, but they are an issue if an animal has this defect. Oysev Espinoy, we discussed, the Torah says, Oysev Espinoy L'Seshchatu B'Yom Echad. One may not shecht a mother and his child. The Gemara is going to speak about this more in a moment, on the same day. That's a din by animals, not by people. Trefa, an animal which is a trefa, may not be brought as a carbon. It doesn't apply by people. Why an animal that's a trefa may not be brought as a carbon is actually, I saw two different explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation is, because we learned many times that the carbon has to be mimashki Yisrael for something a Jew may eat. And of course, we may not eat animals that are treifa. Another pshat, as Issa Zalman in his Sefer Evan Ozel explains that this is the opinion of the Rambam, that there's a pasuk in the Torah, Hakriveu nola fuchasecha. Would you bring this to your Avodah Zarah? Hayirtza panecha. That anything that, any animal or any item that one would certainly not bring to an Avodah Zarah, he may not bring as a carbon either. And a treif is certainly an animal that is in such a category. And the Rambam is teaching us that there is such a category, but Kabbonis, where treif is there for posel. Yotze Dauphin, an animal that was born by cesarean section, because the Torah, when it speaks about Kabbonis, says ki yivoleid. It had to be born naturally. However, a kohen who married a woman whom he may not marry, posel, may not do the avodah, until he makes a nether that he won't have hanah from her. So there's a machlokes rishonim, which will be relevant to our entire sugya. What type of nether does he make? Some Rishonim makes a nether that he will not have any benefit from this woman. He makes a nether that he's going to divorce this woman. Other Rishonim say that the nether is that he makes a nether that I will not eat a certain essential food, for example, until I divorce my wife, who I'm not allowed to be married to. There's a Machloikas Rishonim. Magen Avraham quotes this Machloikas. What is the status of a kohen as long as he's not married, as long as he's married to a woman to who he's not allowed to be married to, which our Mishnah clearly teaches us he's not allowed to do the avodah. The halacha similarly is more relevant to us, is that such a person may not duchen, he may not, such a kohen may not go off and see his kapayim. But the machlokes, the Magen Avraham quote, is this a dim drabonon, is a knas drabonon, that a kohen who married a woman whom he's not supposed to, the Rabbanim made a knas, shouldn't do the avodah, shouldn't do nasiyas kapayim. Or, much deeper than that, that as long as he's married to a woman whom he's not allowed to be married to, he's not a kohen. He doesn't have the status of a kohen. So I saw that the Maritz, Paskins, a chiddush, he obviously Paskins like the opinion that a kohen, as long as he's married to a woman whom he's not allowed to be married to, Paskins, that let's say there is such a kohen in the community, and he does go up to the duchen on whenever there's duchening, the other kohanim should go down from the duchen and not duchen with such a kohen. Because he doesn't belong there. And they don't belong there if he's there. Even though they're being mevatel, the mitzvahs that say of duchening. And I saw the Rav Ozner in the Shalos Tshuva Shevet Alevi discusses that, of course, it's not only limited to this halacha of anoisi noshin ba'aveira, that he's not allowed to do the avoida, but a person, and therefore this halacha that he says is not only limited to kahanim, if we have a person who deliberately violates a mitzvah, aveira in the Torah, should not be given an aliyah. Because how could you call a person up to the Torah and give him an aliyah when he disregards what it says in the Torah? The Chacham Tzvi makes a very interesting observation. The power of tshuva. He says, let's think about this person. this person is a Kohen who married a woman he's not allowed to marry. So we would all assume, so he's going to make a nether. So what's his nether worth? He obviously disregards the Torah. Says the Chacham Tzvi, from here we see that this person now has decided to go on the path of tshuva, and he wants to do what's right, so his nether has value, and therefore if he makes the nether, we assume, as the Gemara will explain a little more in a moment, that it's a sincere nether, and therefore we can let him do the avoda. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Hamatam Lameisim, a Kohen who exposes himself Lameisim, which we know Kohen's not allowed to become Tameh, the Aloch is Posel, he's not allowed to do the avoda. Actually, Kavalov, until he accepts upon himself Shloyim Tam Lameisim, that he will no longer be Matam Lameisim. Begins the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, we began the Mishnah, that the Mishnah teaches us the El Ksherim Ba'odam, that Oisves Benoi is a problem by animals, not by people. Ask the Gemara, my Oisves Benoi. In other words, if the Mishnah is telling us that by Kahanim there is no problem of Oisves Benoi, that means there must be such a circumstance. And we're saying that even though there is such a circumstance, there's no din of Oisves Benoi. Ask them, what does the Mishnah mean? Ilema Aaron Vabonov, that was saying that Aaron and his children, for example, could do the avoided together. Ask the Gemara, the Kavasa, the corresponding case, would be a Tayyar Shabana, a male animal and its offspring, would be Osir by Behema, and Mutter by Kahanim. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Minog, is there a problem of Oisves Benoi by males? For Tanya, Oisves Benoi, we learned the Gemara Masech Techulin, Noig ben the Kavis, and Noig ben Zacharim. So what's the corresponding case of a Kayin to an animal that the Mishnah is saying it's a problem by animals and not by Kayanim? Ella, what is the case that's a problem by an animal? Tayosho b'no, a female animal and its child. Ask the Gemara, the Kavasor Hocha, so what would be the corresponding case by Kahanim? Kahanis b'no. The Kahanis and a child can't do avoida together. Ask the Gemara, Kahanis bas avoidehi? A Kahanis doesn't do the avoida anyway. So what is the case that the Mishnah is speaking about that we're, so to speak, contrasting the halacha by Kahanim versus the halacha by animals? Actually, this Gemara is used to discuss two questions that are discussed by the Achroinim. One question that Achroinim pose is, a Kahanis allowed to do avoida on the Bama? And the Ragachover in Tzofnas Pneach wants to use our Mishnah as a Raya, that a Kohenis can't do the avoid in the Bama. Because if she could do the avoid in the Bama, then we'd have a case that we commission the Kakaris man. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give that teretz is a raya that a Kohenis cannot do the avoid even on a Bama. Other Achronim disagree with the Ragachover because they say that although theoretically the Gemara could have given the teretz that we're talking about the Bama, all of the cases that we've been discussing in our parak aren't limited to the Bama. So to come up with a teretz and say that our Mishnah is speaking about the Bama, that's not a teretz that the Gemara wanted to give. Another very interesting discussion that the Achroidim of Yosef Engel and the Sefer Asrim Daraisa discusses this issue. We know that a Kohenis is not allowed to do the Avoida. That everybody knows. The Gemara just said it. But the question is, when there's a halacha that a Kohenis may not do the Avoida, how do we look at that halacha? Do we view that halacha that a Kohenis is the same like a Zohar? Like a Yisrael. And just like a Yisrael may not do the Avoidah, so too a Kohenis may not do the Avoidah. And just like if Rahman al-Tzlan, a Yisrael, does do the Avoidah, he's Chayiv Misa, so too will be the Halacha if a Kohenis does the Avoidah. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, says Rav Yosef Engel, is no, there's a din. The Torah says, Dabar al B'nei Aharon, B'nei Aharon v'loi B'nei Saharon, that the mitzvah say only for Kohanim, not for Kohenis. But it's not the same like a Zohar. And there is no Chiv Misa. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, our Gemara is a Raya that a Kohenis is fully like a Yisrael. Why? He says, because if the Halacha would be that when a Kohenis does the Avoida, it's not as bad as a Zor, it's not as bad as a Yisrael doing the Avoida. It's only like a special mitzvah to say, so the Gemara's Teretz would be very Gishmak. We're talking about a Kohenis who did Avoida together with her mother, that till now it's only mitzvah to say, B'nei Aaron v'loi B'nei Saaron. And if she did avoid it together with her mother, there's even a lav. Why didn't the Gemara say that, Teretz? Because it must be that there's a lav anyway. Because when a Kohenis does the avoider, she's like a Yisrael. So there's already a lav anyway, and that can't be what the Mishnah means. Very nice ride from the Rabbi Yosef Engel. But back to our Gemara. So what's the Mishnah speaking about? Loila answers the Gemara, Aaron Abonav. The Mishnah is teaching us that Aaron and his children could do avoid it together. So what's the corresponding case by animal? The Kavasahacha, Tayish Benah, a male animal and its offspring. But we just said there's no Oisavis Benah in that case, says the Gemara. Amri Mamarovim Mishmed Rabbi Yosef by Oven, Ada Amra, Ada said, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Chananya. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Chananya. The Tanya Oisves Benoi, Noi Ben Nekevus, and Noi Ben Chorim. It applies by females and not by males. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Chananya Oimer, Noi Ben Chorim Ben Nekevus. So now our Mishnah is very geschmack. According to Chananya, Oisves Benoi does apply by a father and a son, by animals. And our Mishnah is saying, that even though it applies by animals, it doesn't apply by Kohanim. So our Mishnah taught us, if a Kohen married a woman whom he wasn't supposed to marry, if he makes a neder that he's going to divorce her, then the halacha is they could do the avoda. Tana, and the Bryce explains, he makes the neder, and he could do the avoda for Yair and Megarish. And then afterwards divorce her, but immediately he has to divorce and say to Rishonim. But ask the Gemara, if we're letting him do the avoda, just based on the nether, even though he hasn't actually divorced her. But ask the Gemara, V'lechashtem ozl gabachachem v'sharilei. Why aren't we concerned that he's going to go to the Rav and have the Rav be matter that nether? Answers the Gemara, K'sover, our Tana holds, tzarch l'faritis a nether. When he goes to the Rav, the Rav asks him all about the nether, and when the Rav hears what the nether was and why he made the nether, it's a right, so no Rav will be matter such a nether. Says the Rajba. From here we see that when somebody goes to the Rav according to the opinion that you have to be mefarat the nether, it's not just telling the Rav what your nether is, you also have to give him the background. Because if somebody came into the Rav and told him, yes, I made a nether that I have to divorce my wife, so the Rav will be matter the nether. It must be that the Rav is also obligated to probe. Why did you make a nether that you're going to divorce your wife? And he's going to say, because I'm a Kohen, I married a woman I'm not allowed to be married to. So he won't be matter the nether. So we see, says the Rajba, that you have to probe further. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, you don't have to probe in the why. You just have to probe in the what. According to Tosfos, that you're not going to probe into the why, only probe in the what. So why would the Rav not be matter the nether? The Rav is going to understand that people just don't make nedarim to divorce their wives without something going on. So, I saw a beautiful vart, a question. The pasuk teaches us, Gemara Masechet Saita, Yosef had made a shvuah to his father that he's going to take him out of Mitzrayim to bury him. And now Yosef approaches Paroi to give him permission. And Paroi says, I don't want to give you permission. He says, but I made a shvu, I made a nether. So he says, go have your nether annulled. So Yosef says, oh, you want me to do so? I'll have another nether annulled. We all remember that when Yosef met Paroi, Yosef knew one more language than Paroi. And the rule was that the Melech Mitzrayim had to know every language. Yosef knew Lashon HaKodesh, and Paroi did not. And Yosef made a nether to Paroi that he wouldn't divulge that to anyone. Yosef says, if you want me to be matter nether, I have to be matter that, I'll be matter that nether as well. So ask the Mefarshim, according to the Rajba, that you have to give the Rav the entire background. So how could he ever be mefarat with that nether? The moment he goes to the Rav and tells the Rav, I made a nether to Paroi that I'm not telling anybody that he doesn't know Lashon Kodesh, he right away violated his nether. And the nether wasn't yet annulled. And according to the Rajba, you have to give the whole background. So the Mefarshim say the Rajba has to agree that even though you have to give as much detail, it's within the context. So an example in this case, Yosef wouldn't have had to tell the Rav, I made a neder that I'm not going to tell anybody the power doesn't know Lashon Kodesh, because he already violated. He would say, I made a neder to someone and I won't divulge that he doesn't know Lashon Kodesh. But he doesn't say it's paroi. That's enough of a detail. So now the question is, if the Rajba, and the Gemara seems to paskin like the Rajba, go in that direction, that when you go to the Rav, you have to be mefarat the neder, so then why, when we are mat the neder, don't we do so? We all do our Torah and Dharma, never Rosh Hashanah. We don't go into all the detail. So the simple Torah says we follow the opinion of Tosfos. Tosfos says you don't have to be mefarat the neder. I saw a very interesting Prisha. The Prisha says that our das, when was their obligation to be mefarat the neder? In a time where people were very careful with what they said, and their words were very meaningful. So if somebody made a neder, it was very serious. And if you want to be matter than that, you have to be serious with all the details. Unfortunately, nowadays, we're not so careful with the way we talk altogether, so there's no need to be mefarat the neder. Ask the Gemara, but this entire conversation that works, ha-nich l'manda omar, tzarech l'farat es ha-neder. However, ask the Gemara, el l'manda omar, tzarech l'farat es ha-neder, mayik l'meimer. So he'll go to the Rav, he'll make the neder, and he'll go to the Rav and have the neder be mat the neder. Answers the Gemara, the Madrina le Barabim. He makes a neder Barabim, he makes a neder in front of many people, and such a neder, the Rav can't be matter. Ask the Gemara, Hadnich le mandam neder should the Barabim ain lo yafara. Really, the right word is hatara. So, fine. So we make him make such a neder, and he's stuck with the neder. However, ask the Gemara, Elamandama yesh lo yafara, that even a neder that's made Barabim, yesh lo yafara. So we're back to where we started. Michael Lemaimer answers the Gemara, the Madrinale Adas Rabin. A neder that's made Adas Rabin can have a fara. And everybody agrees that a neder made Adas Rabin cannot have a fara. Why can a neder that's made Adas Rabin not have a fara? So I saw two explanations in the Rishonim. One explanation is that it's just a stronger neder. A neder that's made al das rabim, chazal, give it a certain amount of strength, that such a neder can't be matter. Another explanation that the Rishonim suggest is that what happens when you make a neder al das rabim? So you're including not just yourself, you're including the entire group that you mean. And now you want to go to the Rav and be matter neder. And you say, Avcharoti, you regret the neder. Circumstances came up that changed. So that's okay towards yourself. But you're not the only player in this nether. There are other participants. So what's maybe a good reason for you to want to have that nether annulled is not a good reason for all the other people involved in the nether. And therefore such a nether can't be annulled. So ask the Ritva, if that's pshat, so why do you need a rabbit? Even if I make a nether, al das yochid, maybe your thinking and my thinking isn't the same. And even though I think I have a good reason to have the neder annulled, you don't agree. So Ritva says, a person, again, this is all along this pshat in the Rishonim, a person could say, the rabbim think differently than a yochid. And I am subjecting myself to what the rabbim think. But when you have a yochid versus a yochid, so nobody's going to think, who says that he's smarter than I am? Maybe I'm smarter than he is. And therefore, if you only made al das yochid, that neder has a hatara. Ask the achrayim, but why should we not be concerned? So the Gemara is teaching us, and that's the Gemara's final teretz, that a neder that you make al das rabim has no hatara. But why should we not be concerned that I make the neder, and toich kedei dibur, immediately after I make the neder, I say, I didn't mean it. And therefore that neder falls away. So what kind of advice is the Gemara giving us? So I saw a number of terutzim. The Chazon Ish says a very practical answer. He says the Rabbanim have to be concerned about that. But what the Rav should do is hear and make the neder and keep him engaged past the time of Tarkei Deidibur, which is not that long. They shouldn't have an opportunity to retract. Another pshat that I saw is that a neder al das rabim that we're explaining in our Gemara is considered such a powerful neder. Included in the power of that is that even though normally in a halacha there's a concept that toich kedei dibur, you could retract, and neder das rabim, there is no heter toich kedei dibur, and even if you retract toich kedei dibur, it doesn't make a difference, the neder stands. Amar Meimer, and Amar Meimer Taka says, Hilchos Dalach is, Afilu Mandom Neder Shehuda Barabim, Yesh Lo Yafaro, if you make the Neder Al Das Rabim, Ein Lo Yafaro. However, says the Gemara, when does that halacha apply? Hani mi l'dvar reshus, when I made a neder about a dvar reshus. Avol l'dvar mitzvah, if my neder involves a dvar mitzvah, yesh lo yafaro. And here too, again, we apply the two explanations we gave from the Rishonim. According to the Rishonim, that it's a special power that Chazal gave to neder al das rabim, but mokem mitzvah, Chazal did not say that rule. Or, the other pshat also is very beautiful. What did I say is pshat? That those Rishonim say. Because I may think it's a good reason to have this neder annulled, but who says that all the people that I made the neder al datum agree? But if I'm having the neder annulled because of the dvar mitzvah, the Gemara is going to give an example in a moment, so now everybody's going to agree that it's a good reason to be matter the neder, and therefore the neder will be mutter. And the Gemara says, in fact, such a situation. There was a person who was a teacher in the yeshiva. Adri Rebbe Acha. So Rebbe Acha made him make a neder that he no longer will be a Rebbe. Why? The Kaposh B'Yinuki. He used to hit the children. Rashi says he used to hit them and they would die. And because of that, they said, you can't be a Rebbe in Yeshiva. But then they discovered, that's what most Rishonim learned, that there was nobody better than him. He was the best Rebbe. Other Rishonim say, it wasn't that he was the best Rebbe. They saw that he really repented and he wasn't going to act that way. The Hedri Ravina, and Ravina took him back. There was nobody better. So even though he had made a neder, al das rabim, they let it neder be fall because they needed him to be a Rebbe. So there's a machlokes Rishonim. Now that the Gemara is teaching us that even though normally neder al das rabim has no hatara, but the Gemara now taught us an exception to that rule, is that exception by all dvar mitzvah? Or is it only in this very unique situation when it comes to Talmud Torah of Talmidim? I saw a beautiful var from the Sefer Keilas Yitzchak. The Gemara says that the day Moshe Rabbeinu died, nitlu mimenu mayonas hachochma. All of his Torah was taken away from him. And the question is why? So he says, beautiful pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a neder that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. But that kind of a neder should have an annulment, because there was no greater Rebbe to Klal Yisrael than Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the greatest Rebbe we ever had. And therefore, like Al Gemara says, that a neder, as powerful as a neder as it may be, if it's a neder that prevents somebody who's supposed to be a Rebbe being a Rebbe, we could be mata that neder. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mata the neder. Even though he made a neder, they shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took away from him Ayonis HaChachma. So he's no longer the great Rebbe. And therefore there's no reason to be mata that neder. We learned in the Mishnah, from Metamel HaMeisim, that if the Kohen is an individual who's Metamel HaMeisim, that person, if he takes upon himself, they will never do it again, Kedura Avoida. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah HaChad HaSagaleh B'Kabbalah, why for Tumas Meisim is it enough that he should accept that upon himself? Or Mishnah HaChad, why regarding when he's married to a woman he's not allowed to be married to, the Madrinalei? It's not enough just the Kabbalah, he has to make a neder. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Yitzri Taikfai. In the case of Tumas Meisim, it isn't such a strong Yetzirah. Pash Pshat in the Gemara is, there's a bigger Yetzirah to live with a woman you're not allowed to live with than to go to a Levaya. Other Rishonim explain, here he's already married to this woman. Getting divorced is difficult. So the only way we can be assured that he indeed will divorce her, if he makes a neder. But that he won't go to Levayas, so he doesn't have to go to Levaya, and I'll make a neder, they won't go, and that's good enough. We begin now, at this point, already Daf Mem Vav in the Masechta, discussing a new type of Bechor. The Bechor probably most relevant to where we can relate to. And that's a Bechor, a human Bechor. And when we speak about a Bechor, when we speak in Halacha about a Bechor, it really has two areas that it's relevant to. One is for Pidyon HaBen, that under certain circumstances, if somebody, Baruch Hashem, has a pet derechem, has a firstborn child, he has to do a Pidyon HaBen with a Koyim. That's called Bechor L'Koyim, in our Mishnah's terminology. And then we have another type of Bechor, Bechor L'Yerusha, that, again, as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, under certain circumstances, a Bechar deserves a double portion of the Yerusha of his father. Which means, a simple example, if a father had two sons, and he passes away, and one of those two sons was a Bechar, they divide the estate in three. And the Bechar gets two parts, and the other son gets one part. That's called Bechar Lenachla. The Torah, and these are very important words, every word of the Torah is important, says, regarding the Bechar Lenachla, the Torah calls him Kihu Reishis Oinai. Different terminology. The terminology by Pidyon HaBen is Peter Rechem, and here it says Kihu Reishis Oinai. And therefore, the subject of our Mishnah, the coming Mishnah, the Gemara, is that what makes you a Bechar as far as Bechar Lekayin, and what makes you a Bechar as far as Nachla, aren't necessarily the same requirements. And therefore begins the Mishnah. Yesh Bechar Lenachla v'en Bechar Lekayin. Sometimes you could be a Bechar as far as Yerusha, but not as far as Pinyin HaBen. Or you could be a Bechar Lekayin v'en Bechar Lenachla. Or you could be a Bechar Lenachla u'Lekayin. V'yesh, and you could have a person who's the firstborn, but he's an Ein Bechar Loi Lenachla v'loi Lekayin. And begins the Mishnah. Eiz Bechar Lenachla, what is the situation where somebody is a Bechar as far as Hilchas Yerusha, v'en Bechar Lekayin, but he's not a Bechar as far as Pinyin HaBen? Haba Achen Nefalim, the way Rashi explains, and on Amud Beis perhaps we'll explain why Rashi explains the Gemara this way. There was a woman carrying twins. And one of the twins had its head come out before it was full term, so it's still a nafel. If the first child came out, Afi Shiyotzer Rosh Chai, even though it merged its head while the head was still alive, so the next, and then it goes back into the mother's womb, and then dies, and the other child comes out. So that second child, so the first child never was in the world, so to speak, living even for a moment. And therefore the first child, the second child will not be considered a Peter Rechem. He won't have a Chiv of Pinyin HaBen, but he will be considered a Yairish to get two Chalokim. Machlokes HaPaiskim, it's actually Machlokes Rishonim. And what would be the halacha if the first child, the first of the twins, who's the nafel, not only stuck out its head, but all of its body emerged dead. And then the second child came out alive. So certainly that second child won't be a Bechor for Pinyin HaBen. But will that second child be at least a Bechor for Yerusha? Rashi says that he will be a Bechor Yerusha, not only if it was, even if the whole body came out, other Rishonim disagree. Machlokes in Shulchan Aruch 2 days. And then, again, with the example that Rashi teaches us, Uben Tisha, again, we have these twins. And the first child that put out its head was a full-term child. Even if, when it stuck out its head, it was Yotzer Roi Shemes, the child that, so here it's even less. It stuck out its head when it was dead. Still, it's enough to make that the next child will not be considered a Bechor L'Pinyin HaBen, but he still will be Reishis Oinoi and be a Bechor L'Yerusha. Hamapelis, if a woman miscarried a fetus that looks K'min Behem Mechayiv Oif, it doesn't even look like a human, Divir Rameya, that's the opinion of Rameya, Recham disagree. The Chum hold Achei Mitzuris Adam. That means, everybody agrees that if she first miscarried a child that looks like an animal, the second child will be considered Bechor for Yerusha. But the Chum hold that the second child will even be a child as far as Pinyin HaBen. Rameya disagrees. Hamapelis Sendel, if she miscarried a child that's completely disformed, Oishoya is the sack came out, and even though in the sack we don't see any fetus, throughout Shas we have a rule, Ein Shilya B'loi Vlad, if there's a sack, there must be a child here. Oishvir Merukim, there was an embryo that already took shape. Vayoytze Mechutach, or if a child came out in pieces, Rachman Olitzlan. Machloikis, when we speak Ayoytze Mechutach, that the next child is not considered a Bechor as far as Hilchas Peter Rechem, as far as Pinyin HaBen, What does that mean? Is it enough that just the head, Rachman al-Slan, came out mechutach? That is already enough that the next child should not be considered a bechor for Pinyan Aben? Or must most of the body come out for him not to be considered a Pinyan Aben bechor? And the Mefarshim make a very important point. That even though this piece of the Mishnah began with a machlokes of Ramei and the Chachamim, but ham mapelas kamin chayv oif, behem chayv oif, say the Rishonim, the machlokes between Ramei and Chachamim is limited to that situation. Where Ramei holds, that's enough to make that he shouldn't be a bekor for Pinyan Aben, Chachamim disagree. But all the other cases listed here, everybody agrees that if the first child that came out was one of these types of children, the next child will not be a bechor for Pinyan Aben. All these situations, says the Mishnah, Habachrein bechor nachla, the next child is a bechor as far as Yerusha, he's considered Reishis Oinoi, but he's not bechor l'kayim. Continues the Mishnah, Mishlai ha'yolai banim, if somebody never had children, v'nos isha shekvar yolda, and he then marries a woman that already had children. So this child that's born is his first child, but not her first child. And then the Mishnah begins with a subject that we're going to discuss extensively, Be'ezer Hashem. Oy de shivcha v'nishtachra. You have a couple, a man and a woman, and she conceives, the mother conceives while she's still a shivcha. But before the child is born, she was freed. So by the time the child is born, he's a full-fledged Jew. Or, just the way Rashi explains this case, you had a couple, they were both not Jews, and the mother conceived, while she was not Jewish, and then the child was born, so that child has no connection to his father. Because the rule is, Gershon is Gaia Kakotin Shinoiladami. So his connection to his father, there is no connection. And therefore, he has no father. So, such a case, Avedis Kekovim is Gaira, and Mishabas Yisrael Yolda, she has the child after she's Misgair. Such a child is Bechol and Nachlev and Bechol Kayim. She's not a Bechol for Kayim according to the Chacham. Why? Because he doesn't have a father. Because the connection doesn't exist, because his conception was when his father was still a guy. Actually, Rashi is somewhat strong words here. And Rashi goes on to say, Rachmana afgrei lazara. Torah says that there's no connection here because zirma susam zirmasam. He's an akum. And Tosfos is very perplexed why Rashi has to go into this entire discussion about the zirma susam by an akum. Perhaps the Achronim explain what Rashi means to say is, let's think about the case the way I described it. You have a couple, they're both not Jewish. The conception of this child indeed took place when they were still not Jewish. But now, they were both Megayim. And the child was born only after the Gir. So we would think maybe that should be enough of a circumstance to connect them to his father. Says Rashi, because the connection between a guy and his child is so very weak, it doesn't make a difference. This child doesn't have a father, there's no din opinion aben. That's how, because it's not Peter Rechem, because the Peter Rechem was from a non-Jew. That's how the Chacham learned. Before we get to Rabbi Yossi Galili. The interesting question is, what is the din of such a child? This has very significant halachic ramifications. What is the din of this child? Again, let's review the case. His conception was when his parents weren't Jewish. In the interim, his mother and father, for our conversation, let's just speak about the mother, was Megayer. The question is, does this child need to have gear after he's born? So everybody agrees, all the Paiskim agree, that he doesn't have to have tefillah. We know what does gear mean, tefillah and then milah. He doesn't have to have tefillah. Why doesn't he have to have tefillah? Because when his mother goes to the mikveh for her gear, it'll certainly be good for him too. The question is, when we do milah on this child, what is the purpose of the milah? Is the purpose of the milah because he's a Jewish child, and a Jewish child has to have a milah? Or is the purpose of this milah because it's the milah of geiris? What would be the nafkamina? There would be a very serious nafkamina. The nafkamina is that mila bismanoi, if a Jewish child has a mila, and it comes out that the 8th day is on Shabbos, so we all know that mila bismanoi is doicha Shabbos. But a meal of a geirus, let's say you have a person who's becoming a geir, you can't do that meal on Shabbos. So now let's think about the meal of this child. If the meal of this child is because he's a regular Jewish child, and if the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, then you do the meal on Shabbos. If, however, the purpose of this meal is to make him into a geir, such a meal you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And actually, this is related to a much more complicated issue. Machlokes Rishonim, Ramban and Ra'ah. What did I just say? That the milah, that the tefillah of this child, the mother's tefillah works. But we all know that when a man becomes a ger, there's a certain procedure. First you do milah, and then you do tefillah. Machlokes Rishonim, what happens if you do it in the reverse order? You do tefillah and then milah. What is the halacha? Is that acceptable? Or if you did the tefillah and then the milah, you have to do the tefillah all over again. Machlokes Ramban and Ra'ah. So if we're going to say that this child requires milah, is having the tefillah and the milah because of geiris, so this is a right, you could do tefillah before the milah. If, however, you say that the tefillah, that this child is considered a full-fledged Jew, then it's not a right, you could do the tefillah before the milah. Others say it's not a raya, because until he's born, he has no chiv milah. When is there a chiv to do the milah before the tefillah? Only when there's ability to do a milah. Until the child is born, there's no chiv milah. There, everybody would agree could do the tefillah before the milah. So, before we go further, we're exposed here to a very important concept that comes up in Shas many times. Gershon is gai kakotin shenoy l'dami. So the Alshach explains, from where do we know this word of Gershon is gai kakotin shenoy l'dami? Says the Alshach, because it really happened to all of us. By Har Sinai, we all became different people. Why? Because we got the Torah, we got a new neshama. So that's where we see that every time somebody takes upon himself Torah, kakotin shenoy l'dami. But I saw a beautiful word from the Pnei Menachem. The Pnei Menachem says, even though the Gemara is saying Gershon is gai kakotin shenoy l'dami, it's not that he's completely new and he had no connection before. He says, he asks a question. He asks a gvaldig kasha. He says, the Torah, specifically ben halacha Pesach, or Karm Pesach, emphasizes that a ger has to bring a Karm Pesach. Why by that mitzvah more than any other mitzvah? Answers the Pnei Menachem. Because one can make an argument that why should ger bring a Karm Pesach? He wasn't part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Torah says no, that a ger is included in the Klal Yisrael. Because every ger, even though he's new, he converted, he comes from a family that was Goyim, already was by Har Sinai. And he says that's why you always find a very nice deek he makes. You always find when the Gemara speaks about Geiris, it doesn't say Goyshin Iskayer, Akum Shin Iskayer. It says Gershin Iskayer. What does it say Gershin Iskayer? Till he was Megayer, he was a Goy. No, he already had a connection before. This Ger was already connected to us even before the Geiris. One more very nice part that I saw from the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer says, there's a famous word from the Shalah, that when Eliezer was speaking to Lavan and Besuel about Rivka becoming Yitzchak's wife, the Pasuk says Lavan spoke before Besuel. And the Shalah says, why did Lavan do that? Where's the respect? Because Lavan knew that the Gemara says, Roiv Bonim Achar Achayim. Most children are like the mother's brothers. So Lavan really didn't want Rivka to marry Yitzchak. So what would turn off Eliezer? If he sees that Lavan doesn't have any respect, that he speaks before his father Besuel, that will get Eliezer concerned, is this the woman that I want to take for Yitzchak? So ask the Ksav Sofer, so why wasn't Eliezer indeed concerned? Answers the Ksav Sofer, because Rivka was a Geiris, and Gershon is a guy Kot Shnala Dami, so it doesn't make a difference what her brother does. Her brother's not a brother anymore. Continues the Mishnah. Rav Yerusha Aglilaymer, B'chol Nachlu Koyin. This child is B'chol Nachlu Koyin. Shenema Peter Rechem B'Yisrael. Achi Nifter Rechem B'Yisrael. As long as his Peter Rechem was by Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference what happened before. Continues the Mishnah. Mishayel Abadim. If somebody already had children, V'nasa Isha Shla Yalda, and he marries a woman that never had children previously, or Nizgaira Muberis, she was Megaya when she was a Muberis, or she was a Shtak when she was a Muberis, Yolda, and she has a child, or Hiva Kahenis, you have a regular Jewish woman that has a child, and that child gets mixed up with a child of a Kahenis, Hiva Leviya, or you have a regular woman has a child, and that child gets mixed up with the child of Leviya. He v'ishish kvayal, the two children got mixed up, and we don't know who is the Bechor. You have a woman that was married to her husband and didn't wait 3 months between getting married to another man. And now she has a child. Then this is for Yolda. Then you do in Bentish Larisha Menshivlach. We don't know who the real father is. In all these cases, he's a Bechala Kaim because he's certainly the mother's Petarechim. But he's Ena Bechala Nachla because either he doesn't have a father halakhically or he can't prove who's his father, and since he can't prove who's his father, he doesn't get a double Yerusha. We'll explain these cases a little more tomorrow when the Gemara goes into it. Amishmu, Kamen Shmu, we started the Mishnah with a child who's a Ben Shmoina, who's a Nafel, that emerged his head, that the next child will not be a Bechor for Kayin. Says Shmu, it's not just enough the head. Ain't a Rosh Paitim in a Fallen. If just the head came out, that isn't enough that the next child should not be a Bechor Lekuhuna. My Tama, says Shmuel, because the Pasuk says, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apav. Kol Heichad Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apav, as long as his tire, as long as he came out completely, Hu Dechoshev, Reishe. Then his head coming out is significant. Idach, but if it's not coming out live, Lechoshev Reishe, then his head doesn't count. Ask the Gemara, how could Shmuel say that? Let's learn our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Ba'achan Nafalim Shiyotu Rosh Chai. Our Mishnah said, as long as the head of this Nafal came out alive, it's enough. And the next case was, Uben Tisha Shiyotu Rosh Meis. But what does our Mishnah clearly say, ask the Gemara? Ketanimi Roshai. As long as the head came out alive, that's enough that the next child shouldn't be a Bechor Lekuhuna. So why is Shmuel saying that you need that it should have come out all of this Nafal? Answers the Gemara, my Roshai. What does the Mishnah mean? It doesn't mean just Roshai, it means Rubai. Ask the Gemara if that's what it means, Velisni Rubai. So then the Mishnah should have said it. The Mishnah is very misleading. Answers the Gemara, the din would be Velisni Rubai. You're correct. That's what the Mishnah should have said. However, the either the Velisni Sefer, but in the next case of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah speaks about the first child being a viable child, Ben Tisha Shiyotzer Rosh Hames. And there, it's the Rosh Hames. Harosh Chai. But if the first child that came out, the first of these twins, would have emerged with his head even being alive, then the next child would not only not be a Bechor Lekuhuna, but also would be not be a Bechor as far as Yerusha as well. Haba Achrav Lenachle Nami Lehava. And there the halacha, even Shmuel agrees, is just Roshai, Tana Reshai, Nami Roshai. That's why the Reshai speaks about Roshai, but it isn't Roshai, it means Rubai. Ask the Gemara, so why did the second case have to speak about Roshai? The second case had to speak about Roshai to teach us because the first child whose head came out dead, that's why the next one is Bechor Lenachla. But we see that the Roshai of a Ben Tes is considered later, is considered born. Or my commandment, so what is the Mishnah teaching us? The kivin the mapalei reishe, have laid later. That as soon as the head comes out, it's considered born. Ask the Gemara if that's what the Mishnah has come to teach us. That is a loch that we already know. Because as we've discussed numerous times, the halach is, again I emphasize midaraisa, when a woman has a child, so if she has a boy, she's tamei no matter what for the first 7 days. And she's a girl, she's tamei no matter what for the first 14 days. Let's say the head emerged one day, and the rest of the body emerged another day. From when do we start counting the 7 days? The 14 days. So it says, Haitzi Rosh Api Shechzira HaRei Kiyolot. I'm sorry, that's a din by Ben Pekua. That we saw by Ben Pekua that an animal that's found in the mother's womb, I got mixed up with the next Gemara, that an animal that's found in the mother's womb, the halacha is that animal is mutter with the shechita of the mother. But the Mishnah taught us that if the head came out, then it's considered already born and won't be mutter with the shechita of the mother. So we see that the head coming out is what counts. I don't need the Mishnah to teach us. V'chitayim, and if you'll argue, that Mishnah is talking about an animal. Ashma'inim b'heima, v'kamashim b'adam. We need one Mishnah by an animal, we need another Mishnah by people. The adam b'heima lo yalef. You can't learn the halacha of a person from an animal. The less like prized up. You can't learn the halacha of an adam from an animal, because a person has a birth canal. An animal does not. On the other hand, behemah adam lo yalfa. You can't learn the halacha of a behemah from an adam. Because the chosha parts upon him today. The face of a person is significant. The face of an animal is not significant. So that's why you can't rely on the Mishnah Masechta Chulin. So tomorrow I have a Mishnah Masechta Nida that teaches us that the Rosh of a person is already considered a Leida. Hanamatanina, the case that I just said, Yotzu Kedarka, Yotzu Rosh Rosh. As soon as the head comes out, that's when you start counting. There's a Rosh Rosh, Mishatse Pedachta. So we clearly see that our Mishnah says Rosh, it means Rosh, and that's why if the navel came out, just its head, the next child will not be a Bechor for Pidyon HaBen, it will be a Bechor for Yerusha. Says the Gemara, Amar Shimon Lakish, Pedachas Pederes Bechor Mokim, as soon as the forehead comes out, it's considered born, Chutz Min HaNachla. Except for Bechor for Yerusha, you need more. My Tama, why? Because the Torah, when it speaks about Yerusha, Yakar Amar Rachmana. And you can't tell, you can't really recognize just based on the forehead. Rav Yochanan Amar, Afila Nachla. Ask the Gemara, B'chom Mokim L'suimai, he used the word L'chom Mokim, B'chtachs P'teres B'chom Mokim, what does it come to teach us? L'suia Ha'da Tan Rabbanan, G'yoris Yotza B'dachas V'lada B'yoyis Nachris, if a G'yoris head of a fetus came out while she's still not Jewish, V'akach Nizgaira, and then she's Megair, Einos L'imei Tuma, V'imei Tahara, the din that I just said, that you count 7 days, 14 days, and then 33 days, and then 60 days, doesn't apply to such a woman. They don't have a carbon later. Why? Because we follow the din that the head makes to be born. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Yakazu occurs upon him, Vezi, he occurs upon him, parts upon him, and Machaitim. So doesn't this Braisa clearly say that you have to have the whole head, not just the forehead? It says the Gemara, Tani, Arachaitim. It means till the forehead, till the nose. So now everybody's agreeing that just part of the forehead is not enough. You have to have the forehead until the nose. Toshma, Ema Edom Ela Pats upon him Achaitim. If somebody comes to say testimony that somebody's dead, you have to say the entire face. And so the Gemara, Tani, Arachaitim. Doesn't mean the whole face, up to the nose. Toshma, Pedachs below Betsov upon him, if you have the forehead without the face. Or parts upon the loipadach, so you have the face without the forehead. Eime idim, atche shneim, imachoitim. You have to have the whole face. Vamaitaya, vitaim rapapa, my craw, that you have the whole face. Because the pasuk says, I chorus upon him onsbam. That's by a mamzer. You could tell that Kodesh Baruch Hu makes the mamzer look like his father, so everybody should know that he's a mamzer. Although the Marsham says that's not enough to declare that the person is certainly a mamzer. Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from there. By Edus Isha, you have to have the whole face. Shani Edus Isha, Tachmir Barabonim. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Omei Chmira? But tonight, the Mishnah teaches us, in Masech the Yevamis, Huchzuk Elias Messiim, for Edus of an Aguna, we're very lenient. We rely on Edmi Aid, we rely on Edmi Pi Isha, Edmi Pi Evid, Edmi Pi Shivcha. Answer the Gemara, Kilab Kilu Rabbanan, when would Rabbanan make Lebe Saifa? That all these people could say testimony. But the quality of the testimony, but chilasa, that they saw the whole face, is required. Vibay sehme, yakir l'chud, v'akaras pan l'chud. The halacha for yakir is the forehead is enough. For edus, there's a special din that you have to have the whole face. And as the Shmaitzer quotes the Tosfos Yontif, this is a special kula the Torah gave for Hilchos Bechor, that the forehead till the nose is enough.